Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Frun Family Share, hosted by Congregation Shari Tefillah. As always, we learn the Zecher Nishmas and the Ilui Nishmas and Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. And we hope that these words of Torah are Nachas Ruach for the Aliyah Neshama Be'ezrat Hashem. And we continue to thank the Frun family very much for their continued commitment to this year's series, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. So it's a very apropos time to learn because we're going to be talking about more Chayin Esther, and it is Orl Yom, Tainis Esther observed, even though the fast starts in the morning, it's the night before, Vayhi Arav, Vayhi Boker, so we should have the kochos of the rachamim that was granted, the divine rachamim, that was granted to Esther on the occasion of her fasting before she went to HaMelech to beg for the life of Am Yisrael. Halavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim should be misover, shall rachmanus on Klal Yisrael, when we mamish face an enemy whose sole desire is literally their desire. It'll never happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never allow it to happen. But their desire is the exact same as Haman. Lahashmid, laharog, la'abed, eskol hiyuhudi, minarva, adzakin, tafinashim. And we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that on this most auspicious time and calendar day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have his rachamim on us like he did for Esther, Mordechai, and the Jews of the time. Amen v'amen. I must make a correction from last week, even though I wrote on the sheer heading on YU Torah. I posted the correction, so anyone who clicks on it will see that I said it wrong, but I want to verbally say it as well. I said the Mishnah wrong last week, so I'm going to correct myself. I thank Esti Klein for pointing on my error to me. In the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, I have to start with a correction. Kei Moda Al HaEmes. Not that I'm such a Talmud Chacham, but one of our will be Talmud Chacham to be accurate. Not that I am, but someone who strives to be a Ben Arbas Torah must be Moda Al HaEmes. I made a mistake. The first parak of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Tesvav. Shammai Omer. Shammai says, Aseso Rascha Keva, make your Torah learning permanent, which I think those of us who participate in this year, Baruch Hashem, can say we have a kvias to Torah. We strive very much to have a kvias to Torah. Aseso Rascha Keva, make your Torah learning permanent. And Morma Ava Se Harbe, say little and do much. Veheve me kablas call Adam Besever Panim Yafos. Shammai says you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance. If we all lived our lives by the teachings of this Mishnah, we'd probably be in a very good place. You should always have a kvias to Torah. Torah learning is the anchor that anchors us in life. So we should have Torah as a permanent fixed feature in our lives, but not just Torah, the kvias to Torah. So during this time, it's non-negotiable. This is, barring emergencies, whether Latova or Chalila the other way, God forbid, barring unforeseen circumstances, there's a kvias to Torah in my life. And mar ma'ava seharbe, I have to speak little and do a lot. And finally, Shammai does not say, Heve Mekabos Kol Adam Besimcha. Shammai says, which is what I said last week. Shammai says, Heve Mekabos Kol Adam Besever Panam Yavosh. Greet every person with a pleasant countenance or a kindly countenance. So I'm going to quote Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch on this Mishnah. It's a short commentary, but since I'm clarifying the Mishnah for you, Baruch Hashem, I want to quote the Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. The study of Torah is our first and most important task, because it determines the extent to which we will understand and fulfill our life duty. Why is the Torah the first and most important task? Because it's Torah that determines how we will understand and fulfill. You want to know what your life duty is? Look in Torah. You want to know how to fulfill your life duty? Also look in Torah. Therefore, quote, regardless of any other pursuit to which we give our time, we must not leave the study of Torah to chance. Of course, in Yana Diomer, always on my mind, that sentence reminds me of Amalek. Because Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech, this week we're going to read Parsha Zachar, Devarim 25:18, Asher Karcha Baderech. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Lashon, Rashi gives three interpretations, Lashon Mikra, happenstance, random occurrence. Amalek says, everything is by chance. That's not how a Jew lives their life. Nothing is by chance. Everything is by Ashkacha Pratis. We must not leave the study of Torah to chance. We must establish a regular daily time and schedule for study, and we must adhere to it. I think that for the most part, Kol Kavod Hashem should continue to give us the koach. That is one of the things that this year really represents. We don't leave Torah study till when I have time, which is also Pirkei Avos. Al tomar l'kusha efne eshna. When I have time, then I'll study. You know what's going to happen? You're never going to have time. Don't leave it to when I get to it, I'll get to it. You must establish a regular daily time and a regular schedule for Torah study, and you must adhere to that schedule. For otherwise, we may allow other pursuits to keep us from study. If you do not make Yisur Rascha Keva, if you don't not make a set commitment to learning Torah, you're going to find 100 other things to do in that time. So you're going to have to go to the supermarket, which you also have to do. I was there this afternoon. You're going to have to pack shachmas, which you also have to do. You're going to have to make dinner. The problem is all those things are important. But if you don't schedule Torah learning into your day like everything else, it's going to fall by the wayside. And we may allow other pursuits to keep us from study. And the result, we would drift more and more away from the source, capital S, of our spiritual sustenance. Everything else will fall by the way. You're still going to find time to eat. And you're going to find time to go to the grocery. And you're going to find time to care of all your physical needs. But the Yetzer Hara, the Chavetz Chaim says that the Yetzer Hara doesn't care how many mitzvahs you do, as long as you don't learn Torah. The Yetzer Hara is very crafty, so it'll tell you, you have so many things to do. Just this one time, let the kaviyah slide. And then the second week, let it slide. By the third time, nasa lo kaheter, it's just normal that I don't learn anymore. And then you fall farther and farther away and drift more and more away from the source of spiritual sustenance. But while we are told to establish a definite schedule for study, aseser rascha keva, make your Torah learning permanent, we must not make the same inflexible plans in regard to our actions. It's beautiful. He's explaining what the beginning of the Mishnah has to do with the end of the Mishnah. Shammai says, make your Torah learning permanent. And that is not negotiable, barring unforeseen circumstances. But Ezra Hashem, at this time, every day, this is when I learn. This time every week, whenever it is. What does it have to do with the end of the Mishnah? And you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance. What does that have to do with the beginning? Like maybe it should be two different teachings. No, this is Shammai's statement. Make your Torah learning permanent, say little and do much, and greet every person with a pleasant demeanor. So what is the connection? While we are told to establish a definite schedule for our studies, we must not make the same inflexible plans regarding our actions. When it comes to action, we should promise little but do all the more. Don't be so rigid. Say, when it comes to action, what should you say? We promise little, but we do as much as we can, more and more. Dai v'hoser. However, even though our spoken word should not promise too much or too easily, don't make so many promises that you're not going to be able to fulfill. Say little. Don't say, I'm going to do this mitzvah and that mitzvah, this chesed and that chesed. Just do what you have to do. Our conduct and approach to every human being, I'm really explaining, it's a beautiful piece, and it's an important piece. The last time I said that Shammai says we should greet every person with simcha, that was incorrect. So what does it mean that Shammai, who says, Heve mekabas kodam besever panim yafos, now Rav Hirsch explains what that means. What does it mean to greet every person with a sever panim yafos? Our conduct and approach to every human being should be so friendly in character that all will be convinced we are kindly disposed towards them. We are ready at all times to the best of our abilities to fulfill whatever good and reasonable request someone make of us. So when it comes to Torah learning, you have to be rigid. So it really does relate to what we said last time about Shammai. Because when Shammai came to Torah, he was much more rigid than Hillel. But even Shammai says, when it comes to treating another human being, you have to forgive, you have to let it go, you have to know when to let it slide, you have to know when to be much more movable and bendable. Our conduct and approach to every human being should be so friendly in character that all will be convinced we are kindly disposed towards them and that we are ready at all times to the best of our abilities to fulfill whatever good and reasonable request another person may make of us. So that is the correct Mishnah. It comes from Shammai, Asei Surascha Keva, Emor Ma'at, Va'asei Harbe, Veheve Makabas, Kodam Asever Panim Yafos. That is one mistake that I made last week. I made another mistake. I really actually could not believe this. You want to hear what I noticed last week? I'm correcting myself. I quoted Kapitel Kuf of Tehillim. Kapitel Kuf of Tehillim is the famous Mizmor LeSoda. It's part of our morning davening, corresponding to the Korban Todah. It's also a kapitel that we say quite often. I don't know, I say a lot. It's short, how many psukim? 5 psukim, and expresses our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything happening in life. The last pasuk of this kapitel, Ki tov Hashem le'olam chasto, Hashem is good, Ki tov Hashem, because Hashem is good, le'olam chasto, his kindness is eternal, The last words are va'ad, vav, ayin, dalad, va'ad dar v'dar, so in tol, generation to generation, meaning spanning the generations is his faithfulness. I said last week, va'al dar v'dar, so. It is not va'al, it is va'ad. Why am I telling you this? I've always been saying this kapitel wrong. So I don't know what happened to all my Mizmor Lasodas from all the years. But I was always saying that. No one pointed this out to me. That's why I'm not saying thank you so-and-so for correcting. I realized on my own. Thank God I realized. For some reason that I don't know why, I was saying the Pasargang. The Aldor Vador Munaso. That is not correct. So if you heard the shir last week and you heard me say that, the correct girsa is Kitov Hashem Olam Chasto the Ad. Ayin Dalid in Tol. Generation to generation is his faithfulness. So that's two corrections. There's another lesson from this kapitov. Yeah, so I think that Hashem definitely knows what I mean, but I want to tell you a lesson. I'm going to teach you a lesson. The same time that I realized that I was saying the pasuk wrong, I said to my husband, I'm like, you know, kapitel kof, I've been saying it wrong this whole time. But mistakes happen, and I'm correcting. One second, let me just see. I know. Imagine how much we do on a daily basis without realizing we're doing something wrong. It's really scary. But the same time that I realized that I was saying this letter wrong, I was saying Lamed instead of Dalet, I also thought, this is very interesting, totally unrelated to this year, I thought that I said something to insult somebody. I'm not going to obviously go into any details. I talked to a lot of people, live, Zoom, YU Torah, OU Torah, it could be anyone of literally thousands of people around the world. I thought I said something that insulted someone. I was so distressed. You cannot imagine. I literally felt sick in my stomach that I thought I said something that insulted someone. For 4 days, I wasn't upset that I was saying the word wrong. This is a lesson. For the first time in my life, I really understood the Mishnah, the last Mishnah, Maseches Yuma. Parchas Mishnah Tes. The Mishnah tells us that on Averos Bein Adam L'Makom Yom Kippur Mechaper, if a person does teshuva. So obviously I'm not saying Va'al Dor V'Dor Munaso. Now when I say the Kapilt, I say Va'ad Dor V'Dor Munaso. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, atones for sins between man and God. When God is quick to forgive. You made a mistake. You realize your mistake. You do teshuva. I couldn't believe it, but I wasn't like horrified. I'm a human being. I was making a mistake. I'm not trying to justify. You shouldn't say words wrong and then justify. But in retrospect, move past it. Now I have to say it correctly. It didn't make me sick. But the thought that I said something to insult somebody, obviously not in a purposeful fashion, I was distraught. So I understood the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches that when it comes to Averos, Bein Adam L'Makom, when a person does teshuva, Kosh Baruch Hu forgives right away. You're like a new person. The not only a new person, Averos become mitzvos, and they become zchuyos, and you're a new person. But when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chavero, and I really thought about this. I thought Hashem could forgive me in an instant for saying va'al instead of va'ad. I changed it. I recognize I'm moving past. I was upset that I had been saying it wrong all these years, but it was obviously not an on purpose mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands we're human beings, and now I move on. But the thought that something I said insulted somebody, I was distraught. And that's why the Mishnah tells you, no, Mamisha, I felt like sick. That the Mishnah tells you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't forgive for somebody else. It's a lesson. It ties into the Mishnah. It's so funny how both of my mistakes are really related. Shammai says, Hevi Makabos called them a saver panim yafos. And Rav Shamsher, Rav Paul Hirsch says, when it comes to human interactions, you can't be so rigid. Everything should be done with kindness, with sensitivity, with a pleasant demeanor when we greet other people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you were saying the word wrong. I don't know what happened to all my Mizmor Lasodas. Hundreds, thousands over the years. I don't know when I started saying va'al instead of va'ad. But I recognize that Hashem could forgive you for what you do against Hashem. But what you do against another person, Hashem says, even if I forgive you, it doesn't help. That other person has to forgive you. So I could forgive, God says, but what about Bein Adam Mechaveru? How are you going to do Bein Adam Mechaveru? So Baruch Hashem, Bekitzer, I was overthinking. There was no insult. Everything was totally fine. Baruch Hashem. But the idea of how careful we have to be, both Ben Adam and Malcolm and Ben Adam and Chaveru, and understanding that you really must be Mekabel to the best of our ability, strive to be Mekabel, Kol Adam B'Sever Panam Yafas. When it comes to your Torah learning, you have to be very rigid. When it comes to interaction between Adam and Chaveru, you have to know how to forgive, how to be Mevater, how to be kind, how to be patient, even if sometimes it's against our nature. We have to strive to the best of our ability. And it's Shammai who teaches us this, Shammai who's very rigid when it comes to Halacha. But when it comes to Ben Adam and Chaveru, don't be so rigid. Learn Omdim Tzifufim U'mishtachavim Ravachim. When you stand up, you're very rigid. But when you bend over, make room for someone else in life. That only happens when you bend over. Okay, those are the two things I wanted to tell you. Two corrections from last week, both of which have a lot of Musar Haskel for all of us. Certainly the mission applies to everybody. Okay, sorry. Now I want to share with you two insights on Purim. Now, my son today shared with me that a vav last night, a Purim vav from Rabbi Kielsen. On these two insights, my son went over the notes that he took on the vav with me. So I want to share with you what he told me. Okay. So this is very interesting. When he started, this is the beginning of the vav, I thought, whoa, I'm teaching Shari tonight. This is exactly what we always talk about. What we're speaking about here is Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzoncha. That's what we're up to in the chapters, because it's been an ongoing theme. The whole point of an Eved Hashem is to realize that our will, Hashem, is really to do your will. I have no will. My only will is, what do you want me to do here? So he started to tell me what Rabbi Kielsen said in the vav. Okay. A bacher asked of Shmuel Shlita from Philadelphia, what is the avoda and hachana for Yom HaGadol Shel Purim? My son said, Rabbi Kielsen said, this question was posed to Shmuel last week. I know last week, the week before, a bacher asked of Shmuel Shlita, what is the avoda and hachana, the work and the preparation for Yom HaGadol Shel Purim, for this great, awesome day of Purim? And he answered four words. Rabbi Kielsen said four words. Do what he wants. That's the hachana. That's how you should prepare for Purim. So the bacher asked again, what's the avoda for Purim? And again, the answer was, do what he wants. The whole avoda, the whole essence of the day, is what does a Kodesh Baruch Hu want from me? And that's really what we're striving to do our whole lives. Not only on Purim, but to find our whole lives of what does Hashem want to do for me? And then he said, Rabbi Kielsen told over a story about his mechutan's father. His mechutan's father was in the hospital one Purim. And after Purim, they asked him, how was your Purim? He said, this was the best Purim I ever had in my life. So I said, what do you mean? It's the best Purim you ever had in life. You were in the hospital. So he said, it's the first time in my life that I really felt I was doing Hashem's Ratzon on Purim. Every other Purim, maybe some of it was my Ratzon, the food was my Ratzon, the drink was my Ratzon. Yes, of course, I'm now adding on to the story. I don't know if Rabbi Kielsen said these exact words, but let's understand. When I drink on Purim, is it really totally 100% the Shem Shemaim, or because I also enjoy a glass of wine? When I eat the meat at the Suda, is it because I'm supposed to have a Mishta, because it's part of the Simchas Yom Tov, or is it because I enjoy being with family or friends and eating a piece of meat? When I give Shlachmanos, is it only because it's a mitzvah to give Shlachmanos, or do I get something in return? So sometimes our avoda, while we fulfill the mitzvahs, is not purely what Hashem wants from me. It's also a little bit of what I want mixed in. So his mechon's father said, I was in the hospital and Purim was the best Purim of my life. They said, how could it be the best Purim of your life? He said, because it's the first time in my life that I felt I was really doing Ratzon Hashem. This is exactly what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from me. And that is obviously what we are striving to work on, not only on Purim. They said to Rav Shmuel, what's the Hachana and Avoda, the preparation and the work for Purim? Four words, do what he wants. It's really a sign that we should hang up everywhere. It should be in front of us always. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Shami, Kimini Baal Amot, Tehillim 16:8 means, do what he wants. And that's what we're all striving to do. Okay, the first was, I corrected the Mishnah, and we learned the right Mishnah with Kantar from Sham Shav Harsh. I corrected the error that I said online, so therefore I'm saying it again. The correct words are Va'ad, Darva Darmanisha. We learned why Kodesh Baruch Hu could forgive Ben Adam Lamakom very quickly. You do teshuva, it's forgiven. Ben Adam Mechaveiro, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I could forgive you, but you have a problem. Does that other person forgive you? We connected that to the Mishnah because even Shammai, who is so rigid when it comes to the Piskei Halacha, the understanding of Torah, says, when it comes to Ben Adam and Chaveru, don't be so rigid. Third Nakuda, Rav Shmuel says, what is the main avoda of Purim? Four words, do what he wants. What does the Hachana for Purim? Do what he wants. One more thing I want to tell you. And then we're going to go to the piece of Rav Soloveitchik on Mordechai and Esther. So my son said that Rabbi Kilshin told it over like a story. Once upon a time, I wasn't there, I didn't hear, but this is how my son told it. Once upon a time, this is about finding Ashkachas Hashem in everything. Do we see Yad Hashem, the hand of God, in everything in our life? Or do we see there's some random chance? That's exactly who Amalek is. Random chance. Amalek in Gematria, says Rabbi Zavlov, is Suffolk. Doubt. The nation of Amalek injects the poison of doubt into our minds and heart. Maybe there really is no Hashem, chas v'shalom. Maybe everything is just coincidental. Maybe the planet's running by itself. Maybe all world events are random. That's exactly what Amalek is. Lashon Mikra, Sharkarcha v'darach, 25:18 Devarim. You're going to read in Shalom Shabbos, or hear it in Shalom Shabbos. Amalek wants you to see everything as happenstance. So this is how Rabbi Kilson told it over. I wasn't there. Once upon a time, there was a guy named Haman. Haman. And Haman one day woke up. This is how my son told it over to me. And he said, you know, I'm going to draw lots. I'm going to decide to draw lots. He poor, hur ha-goel. I'm going to draw lots, said this Haman. And he told his wife and he told his children. And he's so excited to draw these lots. And he rolls the die, or the dice. And it falls on 1, 3, 3. And he's so excited. Maybe there were three dice. It falls on 1, 3, and 3. And he's so excited. And he calls his wife. And he calls his son. And he's like, look at this, sons. Look at this. And again, if I'm saying anything wrong, it's me. Because I was not in the VAR. 1, 3, 3. And he was so excited. Because 1, 3, 3 is the gematria of Agag. His Haman's great-grandfather. So he realizes he's going to have the upper hand. He just won the lottery. His grandfather was Agag, the king of Amalek. He is a grandson. He today is the king of Amalek for all practical purposes. 1, 3, 3. Agag, Aleph is 1. Gimel is 3. Gimel is 3. Hey man, this is a sign from the god of chance that I am going to win. What does v'nahafachu mean? V'nahafachu asher yushu tu ayudim heima besoneim. Chapter 9, verse 1 in the Megillah. What does it mean? It was a turning over. It means you need to have a different perspective. Turn your perspective over from the perspective of Amalek to the perspective of Klal Yisrael. The perspective of Amalek is everything is chance. It's just chance that I rolled a 1, a 3, and a 3. And he goes, he tells his wife, Rabbi Kilson, and he tells his sons, and he's so excited because he has the winning ticket. It means everything is chance. But when you turn the perspective over, you see everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not chance at all. The only reason Amalek sees Asher Karcha B'derech is because Lo Yare Elokim, also 25:18, they don't fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they don't see that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Kielsen said, this Haman didn't know the other numbers on the other side of the dice. If you turn 1, 3, 3 over, it is, I didn't try with a dice, it is 4, 6, 6, or 6, 4, 4. The opposite sides of 1, 3, 3, on the die are 6, 4, and 4. What's 6, 4, and 4? David. David is Dalet Vav Dalet, 2 4s and a 6. David Melech Hashra Chai V'Kayim. When you shift the perspective, it goes from the limitation of seeing Mikra Ba'olam, happenstance, chance, coincidental in the world, and that's the Koach of Amalek. When you switch your perspective, all of a sudden you see David Melech Hashra Chai V'Kayim. So it's all a matter of perspective. And that is what V'nahafachu means. Purim is a day when we must switch our perspective. Biden's not in charge of our destiny. Trudeau from Canada, they're stopping to sell arms to Israel. They're taking Hamas aside, is not in charge of our destiny. And Trump is not in charge. And Prime Minister Netanyahu is not in charge. And Yair Lapid is not in charge. They're all not in charge of our destiny. Everyone here are shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is only one capital O who's in charge of our destiny. And Purim is v'nahafachu. You need to switch the perspective. Amalek wants us to see 1, 3, 3. Look who's in charge. Agag is in charge. Haman is in charge. Agag, 1, 3, 3. Gimel, gimel. But you need to have a v'nahafachu perspective. And a v'nahafachu perspective allows us to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Do I have to do my tafkid as an Eved Hashem? Absolutely. Could I sit in a chair and do nothing? No, you have to do perspective. You can't sit in the chair and say, my life will happen exactly as I want it to happen, because that's not Avodas Hashem. Do what He wants. He wants us to be productive, proactive, spiritually healthy, growing, striving Jews. who connect to Kosh Baruch Hu, connect to Klai Yisrael, and work on behalf of the Klal. Of course. But not with the idea of Kochi V'atzom Yadi Yasal Yasechai Elzeh. Whatever success I have is not because I am so great, I am so powerful. Rather, there is a Kosh Baruch Hu in the world. And Avichu means, instead of seeing 1, 3, 3, you see 6, 4, and 4. You understand that once again, the son of David Melech Yisrael Yavovi Yigalinu, Mashiach Tzidkenu, who will be a descendant of David. So it will not be the descendant of Agag who ultimately triumphed, Chas V'Shem. It'll be the descendant of David. And while we're going there, we all must Asok Atabia Dacha, Moshe by the Mishkan, we have to involve our hand in the work, of course. But we have to know that everything behind what we are doing is a Kosh Baruch Hu running the show. And that's what Purim is. It's an opportunity for us to switch our perspective. How do you view the numbers on the dice? Who do you see is in charge? Open your eyes, switch your perspective, and then you will see a Kodesh Baruch Hu instead of Chas V'Shalom the other way. Four things. Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Tehillim 100. Do what he wants, Rav Shmuel Shlita. And how do you roll the die? Do you see a 1, 3, 3 or a 4, 6, and 6? V'nahafachu, Purim allows us the opportunity to change our perspective. Okay, now we are going, I assume there's no questions because nothing was typed, fine. So now we are going to, it is the Leil Tainis Aster. Yes, it's a nidcha, it's a pre-nidcha, I'm not sure what you call it, it's a pre-nidcha fast, but it is Tainis Aster observed. By the way, I want to tell you something very, very interesting before I get to the Rav. This is really fascinating. I'm going to read you the OU Halacha Yomis for today. I found this to be very interesting. Here we go. OU Halacha Yomis. Is one permitted to bathe, take a haircut, or listen to music on Tainis Esther? Okay, so I don't know if a haircut is so imperative, and I don't know, maybe for you, but it does have to be today, I don't know. Do you listen to music? I don't know. But the question of bathing, I think, pretty much in our society, applies to all of us. Okay, this is very interesting. Let me, again, I don't say any palacha on my own. This is the Piske Halacha from the OU. Here you go. The Meiri and the Sefer Magen Avos writes that Tainis Esther is different from other communal fast days. This is a fascinating hashkaf into Tainis Esther. I'm not sure that I was aware of this before. That's not like an error like the other two things. I just don't think I was aware of this. Tainis Esther is different than the other communal fast days. Other communal fast days commemorate events of a tragedy. Asar B'Teves, we mourn for the siege that began. Shiva Asar B'Tamas, the walls are broken. Tisha B'Av, the disaster of Churban Bate Mikdash. Tzom Gedaya, they killed a Gedaya ben Achikam. Other communal fast days commemorate events of a tragedy. Are you ready for this? While Tainis Esther, I'm quoting, is a day of celebration. Did anyone ever hear this before? Tainis Esther, day of celebration? No? It's a day of celebration. Why am I fasting from 5:24 a.m. until after Marv and Seis? Other communal fast days commemorate events of a tragedy. Tainis Esther is a day of celebration. Why? On that day, the Jews of old fasted before going to war, and it quotes a source from the Mishnah Brura. The reason we fast on Tainis Esther is because the Jews of old fasted before going to war. Remember, Esther's fast, when did she instruct Mordechai to fast? When did they fast for 3 days? Don't eat and don't drink for 3 days. Yod Gimel Yadala Tesvav Nisan. As soon as the decree went out, it was in Nisan. The decree went out in Nisan, and the annihilation was going to happen in Adar, almost a year later, 13 Adar, so 11 months later. So they were fasting 11 months before the event, but the runners went out hurriedly by the word of the king. They were fasting the 3 days in Nisan, 13, 14, 15 Nisan. And in fact, when Esther, the Medrash says, told Mordechai, go gather everyone to fast, he said back to her, Medrash Esther Rabbah, I think 8:7, Medrash Esther Rabbah, he said to her, Elu Yemei Pesach. How could you tell us to fast? 14 Nisan, Erev Pesach, Korban Pesach, not anymore the Beit HaMikdash, not stand, but that's what day is. We don't fast Erev Pesach, Tanis Bechor, yeah, but it's a Yontif. Tesvav, how are we going to fast on these? What are you telling us? So she said back to him, Zakein Shabi Yisrael, the God of Adar, Lama Zah Pesach. She said, you're telling me it's Pesach, but what's the point of Pesach if there's not going to be any Jews? Better we should fast this Pesach. and be mevatel this Pesach, so we'll survive and celebrate many Pesachot in the future. But otherwise, it's not going to be Pesach because there won't be an Am Yisrael. Apparently, that's not why we fast on Tainis Esther. Now, why is it called Tainis Esther? It should be called Tainis Purim. I don't know. Tainis Esther is a day of celebration, for on that day, and it's quoting the Mishnah Berurah, the Jews of old fasted before going to war. 13 Adar, which is Yer Shabbos, we're fasting Thursday, was the day that the Jews were all supposed to be killed. It says it Beferish in the Megillah. Chapter 3, verse 13, that's when they decreed that all the Jews should be killed. When? B'Shneimasar Chodesh, Hu Chodesh Adar, B'Shlosh Asar Yambo. The decree of murder and massacre was for Adar, 13 Adar. So before the Jews took Nakama on their enemies, on 13 Adar, they fasted before going to war. In that merit, they merited that God listened to their pleas and overcame their enemies. And that's why we fast on Tainis Esther, and therefore it's a day of celebration. This contrast is reflected in the following halacha. The Gemara states that when the 9th of Av, Tisha B'Av, falls on Shabbos, the fast of Tisha B'Av is delayed until Sunday. I believe it was just like this past year, and it's been like that before recently. We do not observe the fast before Shabbos. We make it a nidcha, we push it off, because we postpone rather than advance the tragedy. Maybe Mashiach will come before. Why would I make the tragedy earlier? I'm going to push it off. Maybe in the meantime, Mashiach will come. I don't want to make it earlier. Push it off. In contrast, when the 13th day of Adar falls on Shabbos, like this year, Tainis Esther is observed on the previous Thursday. We can't fast Shabbos. We can't fast Erev Shabbos unless it's a Asar B'Teves. And therefore, we fast Thursday. We don't push it off. We may advance this fast, since it commemorates a joyous event. Did you know this? No, right. So this, I don't feel like I made a mistake. I think I just like never learned this. The first two things were mamish a mistake. This, I found this very eye-opening. I was not aware of this. By the same, it's a festive day. The fast is a commemoration of their fast before they took Nakama against their enemies. Akash Baruch Hu's rachami, mercy, was aroused and he saved them. By the same token, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, contrasts Tainis Esther with the other fat days with regard to bathing, showering, and cutting hair. Although bathing is technically permitted on all fast days except Tisha B'Av, quotes the source in the Shulchan Aruch, and hair cutting is acceptable on Tzom Gedai and Asar B'Teves, some are stringent and do not bathe and do not take haircuts on Kumiya fast days. I try not to shower on Kumiya fast days. Bali Nefesh try not to, so anything we could do more in our Avodas Hashem. However, in keeping with the sad character of those days, as a machokas, and many do not shower. This is not the case with Tainis Esther. Everyone agrees bathing and haircuts are permissible. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita writes that one may even listen to music. However, Rav Al Yashiv, which I thought was interesting because there's a machlokas between Rav Zilberstein and Rav Al Yashiv. Rav Zilberstein says you may listen to music. Rav Al Yashiv says you may not. Why is that interesting? Because they are, what's their relation? Father, mother, and son of that. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, Shlita, Yibadol Chaim Tov Veruchim, writes one may when even listen to music. However, Rav Al Yashiv, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, is quoted in the Sefer Ashrei HaIsh as saying it is inappropriate to listen to music, so I don't have advice for you. If you are someone who listens to music, you have to ask your own Rav. Tainis Esther is also a day of forgiveness, and music will detract from the solemnity of the day, the seriousness of the day. So, according to all opinions, bathing and haircuts are permissible because Tainis Esther is the character of a Yom Simcha. I never knew this, and we fast to commemorate the fast of the Bnei Yisrael before they went to war to take Nakam against our enemies, which was 13 Adar. That was really new for me. Okay, lots of new stuff from Michal Haaretz tonight. Here we go. Now we're going to Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav. The Megillah contains the story of events that occurred in the twilight hour of Jewish history. It marks the passing of a bright, beautiful summer day, full of song, color, and joy. A day on which God's word was on many tongues and his spirit in many hearts. That time period is passing us by. It is no longer a bright, beautiful summer day. It is no longer full of song, color, and joy. The Megillah ushers in a dark and dreary night of silence and fear. Hester Panim, concealment of the divine. A night in the course of which God stopped speaking to his people. At that time, the covenantal community was losing, slowly but surely, the most precious of all gifts, prophecy. The great covenantal dialogue, the bris, the people of the Bris were the covenantal community. Gosh Baruch Hu, we're in a covenant with God. The great covenantal dialogue between man and God that commenced with Abraham, was about to be terminated. And the prophetic community, meaning Am Yisrael, who had always relied on Nevuah from the time of Kosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avram, faced a stark and ruthless reality, a non-prophetic existence. Just now, we are used to a non-prophetic existence, Rachman al-Latzam. We think that's normal. Look how far we've fallen. We think it's normal. But at that time, the norm was that Kosh Baruch Hu communicated with man, but not anymore. With the transition from a prophetic to a non-prophetic community, the Jewish historical experience changed completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now silent, and he's not telling you anymore what you're supposed to do. So if you don't know what you're supposed to do, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is not there. And that's why the Gemara says that the time of the Megillah is a time of concealment of the divine face. Mordechai received not a clearly defined mandate. This is exactly where you should go. This is exactly what you should do. Yitzchak wanted to go down. Baruch Avav, there's a famine in the land. So Yitzchak wants to go down to Egypt. Because Baruch Hu says, no, don't go down to Egypt. You have to stay here. Stay in this land. So Hashem told him exactly what to do. It is a clearly defined mandate. Mordechai, in contrast, received not a clearly defined mandate, but a multifaceted mandate. It was up to him how to interpret and implement this mandate. Mordechai was confronted with a number of alternatives. The choice was his. He had to exercise free judgment. In Egypt, he contrasts Mordechai with Moshe. I skipped some of the essay. In Egypt, Mitzrayim, God acted. Man was an onlooker. That's why in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, we don't speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. There's one pasuk that quotes Moshe, yes, from the Oz Yashir, from Shiras Hayam. There's a pasuk that quotes Moshe, but if you notice in the Haggadah, Moshe is not an active participant. Moshe is not even mentioned, besides for quoting a verse. In other words, he's not a player in the story. Because what do we say on the El Seder? Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo sarf, anihu, ani v'lo acher. It was God, not a sarf, not an angel, not a messenger, ani v'lo hashaliach. It was a kach baruch hu b'kvodo ba'atzmo. By the time of Megillah, it was Mordechai and Esther as shlichim of a kach baruch hu. In Persia, God summoned man to act freely and wisely. Of course, quote, under God's supervision and watchful eye. Kosh Baruch Hu did not give them a clear mandate. Esther's not sure, should I go to the king or should I not go to the king? Well, it's not because Kosh Baruch Hu didn't tell her straight out. Mordechai has to rouse her. She doesn't know what the outcome is going to be. There is no bas kol. There is no prophetic voice. It is a stark and ruthless reality. Rav Soloveitchik says, God uses man as the instrument of implementation. Every person is a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. We are the instrument of implementation. God has a plan. God has a desire. God has a blueprint. And he calls upon man to implement that blueprint. Man has always been the divine agent. From the time of Abraham, he was the divine agent. The ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mordechai himself proclaimed this doctrine in, quote, the famous message he sent to Queen Esther. Umiyodeya, in the eight kazot he got lamanchut, or umiyodeya in the eight kazot he got lamanchus. Who knows whether you've achieved your royal stature for a time like this? Umiyodeya, what's he saying? I don't know for sure. Why don't you know for sure? Because it's not a prophetic era. But perhaps, maybe, probably, the whole purpose of your life was for this very moment in time. Mordechai was confronted with a number of alternatives. The choice was his. He had to exercise free judgment. Tell Esther, go to the king or not go to the king. Should she put her life on the line or wait till he calls her? She hasn't been called for 30 days. Certainly she's going to be called. It's a much more confusing time. Now, Kosh Baruch Hu does not tell us clearly what we are supposed to do. In Egypt, Etzba Elokim hi. Even our Chartumim know it was the hand of God. Even the Chartumei Paro were able to say this is the finger of God. In Persia, God summoned man to act freely and wisely under God's supervision and watchful eyes. Of course, God is in communication with man in both eras. We should not think that Hashem stops communicating with us, but the nature and the mode of communication is vastly different. The nature of communication, says the Rav, is not the same. In the prophetic era, Vayomer Shem al Moshe, Vayedaber Shem al Moshe le'emor, Vayomer Shem al Avram. In the prophetic era, when God is speaking to the prophets, The communication is clear. It is understandable. In the non-prophetic era, the communications are laconic, enigmatic. There are mysterious hints, signs, bright, dazzling flashes, intimations. Man is mystified. Man often feels lonely and forsaken. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu communicating with us all the time. But do we always understand the communication in a non-prophetic era? No. Man is under the impression, however incorrect, that God has abandoned and deserted him. Sometimes, man is under the impression. Sometimes that applies not to an individual, but a nation. In the time of Queen Esther and Mordechai, the annihilation was going to be against every single Jew. Of course, it can't happen, but that's what the edict was. And sometimes, Am Yisrael feels God has abandoned and deserted them. And the Rav says they are under the impression, however incorrect, because a frightening silence envelops everybody and everything. I just saw last night, I sent the article actually to my husband. I was reading about the family of one of the captives. He's 21 years old. He was the main breadwinner for the family. The father of the family was involved in a very serious accident a few years ago. He is in a wheelchair. He's not able to provide. And this son was the primary breadwinner for the family, 21 years old. I should really say his name. Here we go. Bar Cooperstein. B-A-R, Bar. Beis Reish. Cooperstein. Recorded, had paused. I just resumed it. I don't know how long ago it paused, but I hope not that long. Yikes. Okay, forget it. Every time I go to the article, it pauses. I said his name. I don't mean forget it. Chas v'sham. The recording is stopping. I don't know why. Bar Cooperstein is captive. He was taken. He's 21 years old. He's a primary breadwinner for the family. The father's unable to work due to injuries. Sometimes we're under the impression, however incorrect, and I quote, it seems as if God has abandoned and deserted man. A frightening silence envelops everybody and everything. And so the Talmud asks, where is there an allusion to Esther and the Chumash? The answer is given, and I shall hide my countenance on that day. I just thought of something. I started off by saying, I quoted the Mishnah, not me, that Kosh Baruch Hu can forgive sins, Bein Adam Baku. You've been saying the wrong word. I'm not sure how many times I did that. Probably hundreds. It's a kapitel I say often, but Kosh Baruch says, you realize your mistake, you're doing teshuva, you're going to say it correctly, you're going to pay attention, okay, I can forgive. But you insulted somebody else, Baruch Hashem, I did not, but I was very upset. You think you did, Bein Adam Lechaveiro, there's no tikkun. Until the person forgives you. We started with the Mishnah, Shalom, we started with the Mishnah of Shammai that says, Haven Mekabas called them Besever Panim Yafos. And now I'm quoting the Gemara that Megillas Esther is a time of Hester Panim. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe we could propose that if we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal his face to us again, be benevolent and kind to us again, then even according to the strict letter of the law of Shammai, we need to show our face, be benevolent and kind to others. Only when we treat others with a sever panim yafos, even if that means going beyond our natural inclination and proclivities and temperament, that may be mida kamega mida, Hashem will do v'na hafachu of his hester panim. The whole shiur really comes together. Wow. Hashem is saying to us, we need to do a v'na hafachu. We need to switch our perspective. Don't see the die as being on 1-3-3, Agag. Recognize that the flip side is 4-6-4-4. Davin melech Yisrael, Am Yisrael is chai v'kayim. But not part of. The Gemara tells us explicitly, Meseches Yuma Tasa Amad Beis, that we're in Galus because of Sinat Chinam, not part of. Called Darshal Abani Benav, Kili Hechrivo. If we want to, Vina Hafechu, if we want to reverse the equation of Galus and bring us back to Geula, if we want to reverse the exile and affect redemption, Kadosh Baruch Hu says it's very easy. If you didn't rebuild the temple, you're like you destroyed it. If you destroyed it, why was it destroyed? Because it bases hatred. So when you are Mekabel Kol Adam B'Sefer Panim Yafos, when you greet every person with a pleasant countenance on your face, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Mida Kenega Mida, I will greet you with my Panim. Hester Panim means Hashem is hidden from us. If Hashem is hidden from us because of baseless hatred, which led to destruction, which led to exile, which leads to all the terrors of Churban and exile, Galus, all we have to do to reverse the equation is fix what we are perpetuating. Talmud Yerushalmi tells us that. And when we greet each other with a pleasant face, Mida Kenega Mida, Hashem will greet all of us with a pleasant face. And then maybe if you can apply Shammai's dictum to all aspects of our life, we will have a v'nahafecha. We'll see people in a different light. We'll realize they're chas v'sham, not the agag we thought. Maybe they're really as pure and as righteous as David Melech Yisrael. We'll have a little bit of a different perspective. We'll show them a smiling demeanor. Because Baruch Hu will say, oh, maybe I, God, will switch my perspective about my nation. You're not the sinners I thought you were. You're wonderful people. Look how you treat each other. I want to be part of this. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will switch my perspective. And Bezal Hashem will mamash see David Melech Yisrael, Yavo V'Yigaleinu, Mashiach Tzidkeinu Halavai. Okay, I think the shir was, maybe it's Bashar, I made a mistake, I don't know. Came together very, very nicely. Halavai, we should be Zerchach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I didn't finish the piece by the Rav. Let me have two sentences. Even during the non-prophetic era, three, at a time when the divine countenance is hidden, Hester Panim, because I don't want to leave you in the middle of the essay, man is elected by God to carry on, to make decisions, to undertake difficult tasks courageously and implement them superbly. Even when Hashem is hidden, you must carry on. We make decisions. We undertake difficult tasks. We courageously implement them superbly. Of course, it is a superhuman task for a young and experienced maiden. However, the Spirit of God will descend upon her. It will inspire her. She will defy danger. She will make the right decisions. God asks man in the non-prophetic era to reach maturity and independence. He wills man to act with courage and wisdom. The song of the Torah will never be terminated. All communities, prophetic and non-prophetic, will join in the Messianic era. Time. I wish you a meaningful Tiny Esther at some call. It's a day of celebration, so I don't know what that means, but I rejoice in the fact that Hashem saved our people. Make sure you're paying attention to the words of Tehillim when you say them. Greet everyone with a pleasant countenance, and we'll be zochah to the v'hafachu Kadosh Baruch Hu. He will turn his face back to us, and we'll see the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu ben David, 6, 4, and 4. Have a freilichim Purim. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov, and thank you to all.